In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point, you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush. It's hour number two on Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. And we are now speaking with Richard Battle, author of Navigating Life's Journey, Common Sense in Uncommon Times. Richard, when did you write this book?
Andy, thank you so much for having us again this week while John's vacationing.
And you bet.
This book was published in the last few weeks and was primarily written this year.
My goodness. I mean, Common Sense and incredible. I have never seen such uncommon times. And I'll be honest, Richard, it's just unsettling. It really is. Forget about the fact, we'll get to the election updates and stuff like that here in a second. But just think about it. Every day you go through life and just walk through life, and it's nothing like it was just a year ago. I mean, nothing. It is unsettling. It really is. Go ahead.
Yes, I think that's been more unsettling than even COVID this year has been. It seems like every day things are changing. It's like we're standing on sand instead of firm ground.
Yes.
And people feel less and less in control of their lives and their futures.
I don't think Americans have ever felt this out of control of their lives. Well, no. I mean, I'm sure you go Great Depression, but I'm talking modern age, mm-hmm. right? In the modern age, I don't think Americans have ever felt so completely out of control. And not just because of the, like you say, the foundation that's under them, constantly giving way and shifting and all that, but about the government that's over them.
Well, and that's what makes it worse, because our ancestors, all the way up until early in my life, no one ever looked to the government to do anything for them. Matter of fact, the fifth biggest lie used to always be, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you. People did not want government in their lives, so they looked to their families, their neighbors, their church, and friends to help each other. And now, since there's been more people put on government dependence, that has made this situation even worse.
Oh, it has. It is just, it's horrible, and it's getting worse. And by the way, I really hope it turns around. I was so excited with Trump in office because we got so many people. What was it, like 8, 9, 10 million people off of food stamps? And we were turning the corner, and we were changing our trade deals. Right. And we were bringing back businesses that Barack Obama said, well, you can't wave a magic wand. And yet Trump was doing it. And we had businesses exploding, and we were helping people in all demographics at all ends of the financial spectrum. And now I'm just looking forward, and I'll be honest, Richard, I'm a little bit afraid.
Well, first thing is, I hope it's not over yet.
Me too.
There's a small chance that the election may be reversed from what is perceived right now. But you're right. Not since Ronald Reagan has there been an America's first and a pride in the United States like Trump instilled. There's been a rapid march to a globalist country and a world. And that's not in our best interest. America is not well served if we have to become subservient to an international ruling authority.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't understand. They look at Trump supporters and they think they're some kind of cult, which I think is odd, since the people thinking that are people who built Greek columns for Barack Obama and had little kids singing his praises, but they think we're a cult. So I think that's kind of funny. But they don't seem to understand. It's not about Trump. It's about a guy who just came along and said, you can like America again. It's okay to succeed. It's okay to have America actually win in a negotiation with a foreign country. It's okay to get a job and not be punished for doing well at it. I just think it was like we could breathe again for a few years.
That's exactly right. And this election was not against liberal versus conservative or Democrat versus Republican. It was the United States versus being a small part of a globalist economy, a globalist government. And that's the path that we may get back on again. And again, it will drain opportunity. It will drain freedom. All you have to do is look at countries around the world who have gone that direction and see how it just destroys people's souls, and that's what a more socialistic government does to people.
Oh, yeah. Richard, you tell me, is there a place on Earth that has a more condensed, incredible set of natural resources than Venezuela? I mean, how do you not prosper in Venezuela? It is like, I mean, literally, just with the natural resources, it's like waking up in heaven. And they've turned it into hell, and it's because of one word, socialism. And yet you have people here in America who want to go that way.
Well, it steals a soul, and it takes people's incentive away to work. And you don't have to look any further than Western Europe to see how stagnant the economies are because of the high taxes and regulations and the disincentives for people to excel and try to achieve their dreams. The countries promote everyone being the same. And when everyone's the same, there's no incentive to grow, so everyone goes toward the bottom in their commonality.
Well, in some kind of hopes that maybe we turn this around, can you give us a few election updates? Do you have anything on your docket?
Well, I think the main thing that's interesting to me, and regardless of how this turns out, the media has been exposed like never before as a partisan player versus the referee. And it's like the old story of the boxer getting beat up in the first round and goes to his corner, and his manager tells him everything's fine, and he says, well, you better keep an eye on the referee because somebody's knocking me all around the ring. So the media has no curiosity about any of the voter fraud. They're promoting a fait accompli that the election's done, which further puts them out there on the limb that if something changes here, they will have no credibility at all. And people should help promote to their friends, regardless of their political belief, that, hey, why don't you check out different news sources? Look at a press conference and then compare it to the reporting and see what you think versus what you see reported only every day. And when people do that, it's amazing how easy it is to spot the propaganda coming out from nearly every source.
Oh, absolutely. And Richard, here's what I don't understand. How could people not look at some of the numbers and not see that fraud has absolutely happened? Okay, if Joe Biden is made president, he's not my president. And I don't say that out of bitterness. I say that out of numbers. I don't think it happened, not legally, because, you know, we were talking yesterday on the show. There are 19 bellwether counties in America that have predicted the presidential winner for the last 40 years, right? Trump won 18 of those by an average of 15 points. Okay, 14, 15 points. Massive. All these bellwether counties, those are heavily independent, and they're going to twist and turn. They went for Obama. They went for Bush. They went for every single winner. They went for Trump. Well, Biden won one of them by like 3 points out of 19. They had another that I think it was 59 bellwethers. That includes those 19, right? 59 bellwethers that have predicted the presidential winner every year for the last, 20 years. So the last three, four elections, right? And Trump won 51 of those handily by an average of 16 points, and Biden won the other 8 by an average of 4 points. How can people look at that and not see that there was massive fraud in a few key cities and a few key states?
Well, I think the main reason is most people have not been shown that, because a survey some years back said 93% of the people get their news from one source, and if that one source is hiding that information, which most of them are, most of the mainstream sources nationally and then down to their local outlets are basically saying the election's decided, They call him President-elect Biden. They say that the fraud has not been proven, and they just make Trump the bad guy for not conceding. And so most people have not been exposed to the details. And, of course, I believe that the lawyers have put more out in public trying to sway public opinion than normally in a court case, because normally in a court case you want to lay everything out in court. And my hope is that there will be honest judges and legislatures that will look at the evidence and rule based on the rule of law and not based on politics.
Well, I don't think we'll see that until these cases get to the Supreme Court, where we have a 5-4 edge now. And I'm really hoping for that. Folks, we're talking to Richard Battle, author of Navigating Life's Journey, Common Sense in Uncommon Times. Hey, Richard, can I hold you over the break? Because I really want to talk about COVID politicians.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Thank you so much. But before, folks, Mighty Hand Construction. Winter is here, and it's expensive enough to heat the inside of your house, so don't heat the outside. Mighty Hand can retrofit your windows for increased energy efficiency, and they got lots of other heat-saving ideas as well. You like saving money? Call 970-844-9191 or go to MightyHandConstruction.com.
You will get burned looking for the cheapest option. Micah Applegate and his team at Mighty Hand Construction find that a lot of homeowners don't understand the true value of a reliable contractor. Suppose you try to manage your own remodeling project and the guy working on your basement botches the job. Now it's up to you to make him fix it or find someone else to correct his mistakes. You call company after company asking for estimates and no one will call you back. Then once they finally do get back to you, they expect you to do most of the work yourself, including coming up with the actual construction plans. It's like they don't want your money. As a local full-service construction company in Northern Colorado, Mighty Hand operates character first, overseeing your entire project from beginning to end. Make sure you hire a contractor who will handle the process for you. Schedule an estimate now at klzradio.com/mightyhand, honoring God, impacting customers.
Okay, affordable interest mortgage with Kurt Rogers. Take some of that equity in your house, turn it into cash, and Kurt can often do it without increasing the cash flow you're paying out. Just call Kurt Rogers at 720-895-0500 or go to aimortgage.net. Affordable interest mortgage, where it's all about you.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
Introducing Shooting the Breeze with Franktown Firearms, Saturdays at 2 p.m. on KLZ. A family-owned, family-friendly shooting range in Franktown, Colorado. Franktown Firearms offers practical defensive training as well as an impressive selection of firearms at the lowest tax rate, so you can develop confidence with your firearm. The team at Franktown Firearms believes the only difference between a beginner and an expert is practice. So they equip you to keep yourself and your family safe in a welcoming atmosphere. Listen to Shooting the Breeze with Franktown Firearms every Saturday at 2 p.m. right here on KLZ.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate filling in for John Rush, and we are speaking with Richard Battle, author of Navigating Life's Journey, Common Sense in Uncommon Times. And Richard, before we go on here, I'm going to play a little clip, but I'd like you to let people know how they can reach you. Richard?
They can me at richardbattle.com is the simplest way, and they can contact me by email that way.
Excellent. Okay, thank you. I was just wondering, would you mind listening to a quick, about a minute and a half of Kayleigh McEnany, because she's going to talk about Democratic politicians who have been hypocritical. Sound good?
Not at all. I thought you were going to play that before you asked me to my contact information.
I know. I caught you off guard.
You did.
Is something playing right now? Oh, boy. I guess something is playing right now, and I have no idea what it is. Is that it? Excellent. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, here we go, folks. Kayleigh McEnany.
Behind me, you will see displayed images of Democrat hypocrisy playing on loop. These images depict the following. They show Governor Gavin Newsom of California dining both maskless and indoors at the fancy French Laundry restaurant, despite severe lockdown restrictions against indoor dining for the very people he governs. You'll see Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot celebrating in the non-socially distant streets of her city. You will see Speaker Nancy Pelosi indoors at a hair salon in San Francisco when salons in California were only open for outdoor services. And you will see CNN's Chris Cuomo staging his emergence from quarantine in a made-for-television moment, coming out of the basement, and this was after Cuomo was spotted breaking his brother, Governor Cuomo's, quarantine rules to go for a bike ride in the Hamptons. Also notable is San Francisco Mayor London Breed, who followed Governor Newsom's lead in dining at the French Laundry with a group of eight people. And finally, Los Angeles County Supervisor Sheila Kuehl dining outdoors at her favorite Santa Monica restaurant after voting to ban outdoor dining at 31,000 restaurants throughout LA, calling outdoor dining a most dangerous situation. Quite clearly, these Democrats do not follow their own edicts. They act in a way that their own citizens are barred from acting.
Okay, she goes on for just a bit, but Richard, what really gets me here is they're destroying lives. Okay, they are shutting down thousands and thousands of businesses where people can't feed their families, they can't pay their bills, and then they go to their select ones, probably run by buddies, that they go to and live it up, while the rest of us are supposed to mask up, separate, and not go out.
Well, absolutely, and she left one out that came out today. I live just outside of Austin, Texas, and the Austin mayor, who's been preaching stay at home, was vacationing in Cabo San Lucas recently after a private plane flight.
Oh!
And what it is, the breathtaking power grab that our politicians at all levels and all parties have done this year with COVID, and they're moving us from being free, independent citizens into ruled subjects. And all you have to do is look around the world where people are subjects versus free citizens to see the difference. And that's something we don't want. And when this pandemic's over, we citizens have to stand up and push back, or this type of governance will continue.
Richard, when this stuff happens, doesn't it kind of remind you of Animal House? You know, some are more equal than others. Animal Farm. I said Animal House. Sorry. I do movies on Friday. Animal House we bring up. By the way, does this remind you of Animal House? That's kind of weird, too.
Animal House and Animal Farm, and all animals are equal, but some are more equal than others, and this is perfectly indicative of that.
Yes, it is, and it just makes me sick. It absolutely makes me sick. Okay, but you are a motivational speaker. Okay, you're a motivational thinker. You're a guy who looks forward and looks upward. So can you please tell us how there are opportunities to succeed in these kind of times?
Well, I think there's four things that are going on right now that people look at and notice and then try to figure out how can they take advantage of the opportunities from that. One, the people that are leaving the cities, moving to suburbs and small towns. Two, people are moving to areas with less regulation and taxes. Three, there's more online opportunities. And four, despite the possible change of administration, I think there's going to be more people buying American goods in the future than Chinese and overseas goods which will create more opportunities. And those trends, those four trends right there, to me, create opportunity in a lot of different types of businesses.
I think you're right. I think a lot of people are moving their spending. And by the way, Richard, there's a broader trend of Americans who are not hardcore left-wing, right? So basically anybody outside of the left is starting to move their spending away from a lot of leftist outlets. The NBA is not getting anywhere near as much money. The NFL is not getting anywhere near as much money. Now, places like Amazon, of course, are raking it in. I understand that. But people are moving from Facebook to other options. They are avoiding, like you're saying, spending as much on China and wanting to buy American-made. I am starting to see, with the outcome of this election, either way it goes, a lot of people are moving their spending, and it's really hurting the left.
Well, I think that's right. And in your own Colorado election, when people voted to give up their electoral votes to whoever got the highest number of votes in the country, that was one end of the spectrum, but people voted to reduce their state income taxes.
Yes, they did.
So people will vote their personal priorities if they're given the information so that they're educated to be able to do that.
That is great. That is great. Now, I see here a story of encouragement. What do you got for us?
Well, one of the stories that I think I want to share is the story about it. It's how you respond when you get out of a hole is more important than how you got into it. And the story is from a gentleman in Austin, Texas. He graduated from college, went to work as an engineer with Exxon outside of Houston, and 2 years later failed. Went back to college not knowing what he was going to do, and a friend had him tutoring to get into medical school and suggested he apply for medical school. He applied and got in. His friend never got in, but inspired him to do so. He became a cardiologist in Austin, Texas, who did over 11,000 procedures over 50 years and was a renowned cardiologist in Austin named George Lowe. I'm privileged to know him as a friend, but he did not let his failure as an engineer stop him from finding a life purpose and succeeding. And in these days, there are so many setbacks that we are experiencing because of COVID and economic situations. There's a tendency to be depressed. And I want people to realize that we need to channel that depression into looking for positive opportunities. And there's plenty of examples out there that we can use for inspiration.
And Richard, there are more examples in your book, Navigating Life's Journey, Common Sense in Uncommon Times. Richard, how can people find you? How can they find your book?
Well, if they go on Amazon, all seven of my books are there under Richard D. Battle. And richardbattle.com is my website. I'd be happy to respond to anyone with any information that we can be of help.
Richard, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Andy, thank you so much. God bless America.
God bless America. And with that, let's go to break. And let's see here. What do we have? We have Purefoy Chevrolet. Folks, my wife and I, we got a share car at Purefoy. I've mentioned this before. It's a true story. We bought two cars, one at Purefoy, one somewhere else. And the one we got elsewhere is always in the shop. It is right now. That leaves us sharing the car we got at Purefoy. It's our share car. So to get a reliable car you can share, call Purefoy Chevrolet at 303-659-8311 or go to purefoychevrolet.com.
My first name is Steve, and I began going to Purefoy in 1993. And even though I live 45 minutes away, I've never gone to another dealership. And I bought five cars from them over the years, all Corvettes. My overall impression has always been the same, and that is that they're a small-town dealership. They're a dealership in a small town, but they're really as professional and courteous and as concerned with their customer satisfaction as any dealership or any business I've ever been to before. Just about everybody that you run into there just makes you feel like family. And why would you not want to deal with somebody like that? We've all been to places where you walk in the door and you realize that whoever it is you're talking to really doesn't care. You're just somebody they want to get out before 5 o'clock so they can go home. And in this day and age of technology and, you know, all the stuff that we've got going on that says you've got to get people out the door to make money, that's just a breath of fresh, it's a hurricane of fresh air to go up and deal with Raleigh and his staff. They're just wonderful, wonderful people.
Hi, I'm Raleigh Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Okay, Enchanted Kitchens. Kitchen remodels, folks, they're complex. If anything else, they're complex. So if you want a magical kitchen that wows family and friends, you need experts who know how to maximize value and minimize potential problems. Experts like those at Enchanted Kitchens. Go to klzradios.com/kitchens or call 303-376-7588. They'll make the complex simple with 3D designs and expert advice. Enchanted Kitchens, bringing you the magic of design.
You're at the point where you're tired of living in a kitchen that doesn't work, but you're overwhelmed at the thought of a total redesign. Yes, you'd love a new kitchen that works, but you feel daunted by the process. Here's the good news. By hiring the Enchanted Kitchens design team, not only are you guaranteed a gorgeous, functional, finished product, but you also get to hand over all the stress and uncertainty to a team of professionals who know what they're doing. The design team at Enchanted Kitchens has been doing this long enough to know that every kitchen will run into at least one design challenge. But with a team of experienced designers on your side, you won't need to face those challenges alone. Have a conversation now with the Enchanted Kitchens design team and start talking through the process together. Let them make it work for you. Set up a free, no-obligation consultation at the Experience Center. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. We are now speaking with CU Regent Heidi Ganahl. Heidi, how are you today?
I'm great, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Everybody knows I'm going on about 3 hours sleep, so it could get a little wacky, just so you know.
That'll make it fun.
I could just at one point stop using any nouns and just be speaking verbs. It could happen. So if it gets confusing, just roll with it. Be strong.
I will. I'm happy to do that.
All right. Thank you. All right. What is happening up at the People's Republic of CU?
Well, it's been a very interesting semester so far, as you can guess. We've had to deal with the ups and downs of COVID, and I've tried very hard to push for tuition relief throughout this time frame and have not been successful. I lost by one vote in the Republican majority board last August, and then most recently it went down 6-3. So I have a couple regents, John Carson and Chance Hill, who stood by me and stood by the students, and that's what's been going on.
So we got a couple John Robertses on that group. That is not good. I'm sorry, because what a great idea to bring a little bit of relief to people during such a hard time. And, you know, I mean, Joe Biden wants to make their education completely free.
Well, you and I know nothing is free. And
right.
I think that is the wrong way to incentivize our young people to get out there and find something they're passionate about and build a career and a life around it. And I just think that higher ed is being turned on its head right now. And I think we're going to see a lot of dramatic changes in the coming years and hopefully some good ones. You know, I'm encouraging donors and students and parents to speak with their dollars, to go to universities or campuses that are doing the right things, and also, you know, really think long and hard about a four-year degree if it's the right path for you. There's great vocational training, lots of neat programs going on. Even Google and Apple don't require a college degree anymore.
Hey, by the way, CU, because, you know, we always talk on shows like this. I'm a very liberty-oriented guy, you know that. And so we always look at CU and think, oh, my gosh, it's also liberal. You know what? A lot of people up there, faculty and administration, are also doing a great job handling COVID,
absolutely.
Doing a great job helping kids learn during times like this. Could you kind of speak to some of that and give us some of the good stories? Give us some of the good feel of what they're doing to overcome and to provide education in tough times.
You know, I was really proud of the administration for pushing hard to get students back on campus in the fall and at least make a good effort to do so. The challenge has been more with the county and city of Boulder and the restrictions they're putting
right.
down on us as we try and navigate this. So I think a lot of folks think it's just CU that are, you know, kind of going back and forth on the students on campus and the restrictions, but it's really more reliant on the city and county regulations. But, you know, honestly, Andy, I think the faculty have been just heroes throughout this thing. They are just doing their darndest to create great experiences for the students and make sure that, you know, everyone's gutting this out and sticking with their path to get a degree and trying to make it as interesting as possible with Zoom, which we all know is a really difficult task.
Yeah, how are the faculty holding up? Because I know that some people look at it and say, yeah, they're still getting paid and all they got to do is provide over Zoom and provide this, no interaction. But I've taught before, Heidi, and I know not having interaction with students makes it extremely difficult to teach them and guide them and grow them.
Yeah, you know, it's, as those of us who run businesses know, it's not easy to lead a team during this over Zoom or with the, everybody out of the office, and it's equally as difficult to teach a class of a couple hundred students when everybody's on Zoom or not on Zoom, you know, trying to learn effectively. So I have to hand it to the faculty. They've done a great job, and I was a little bummed out when recently when I tried to get the tuition discount that I was criticized by the faculty for proposing this, and they, you know, I was told that cuts to the bureaucracy were not an option, that students knew what they were signing up for, no refunds were necessary, that the education was just as good as it was when they were live in the classroom, and I thought that was pretty tone deaf. But what I wanted the faculty and staff to understand is that the increase in the hire of administrators, which right now we're hiring quite a few, takes money out of the classroom. It takes money out of the faculty. So a tuition discount because of COVID isn't the right target. The right target is the incredible bloat around administrations and, you know, non-faculty hiring at these universities. And that's where we could really make an impact and put more money back into the classroom and back into faculty.
Oh, I agree. I mean, hasn't faculty just increased at a ridiculous percentage? I'm sorry. Administration has increased at a ridiculous percentage versus faculty. Am I correct?
Yes, absolutely. And that's happening all over the country. And a lot of it's based on new regulations brought down by the feds. But honestly, if we're running a university effectively, there's other things we can do to solve those problems. And besides hiring another high-priced administrator.
You know, another thing that you said, Heidi, that jumps out at me is they're saying, well, what we're providing without the classroom is just as good. What we're providing through Zoom and all this kind of stuff, it's just as good of a product for the students and their families. Therefore, we shouldn't be having to give any kind of a break. Excuse me, I have a little question. I'm that hand out, you know, in the back of the room. Then why do you have the classrooms?
That's a good point.
When all this blows over, are you telling me you're not going back? Do we just shut down the campus? Do we not need it anymore? Do we run it out of a high rise or some kind of business downtown? I mean, really, I don't understand this. How can they say that it's just as good? If it's just as good, why do they have what they've always had?
Well, that's something we're going to have to grapple with, and administrators and leadership at universities around the country are going to have to grapple with. And, you know, as we go all in on technology, and we're investing quite a bit at CU, and I know other universities and colleges are as well, what is the role of continuing in the arms race of building bigger, more beautiful campuses and facilities? And is that the right way to do it? And I think there will always be a role for the type of campus like a CU Boulder is, where you go for the experience. You don't just go for the actual classroom education. You go for the football games and the sorority fraternity life and, you know, networking and doing collaborative projects with other students. So I think we've got to pay close attention to that. And that's been a frustration for me, is really getting the administrators and the leadership to listen to the students and listen to what they're telling us about what's working or what's not about this experience before we go barreling down this path to replace everything with technology.
You know, that kind of surprises me, Heidi, that they're being tone deaf, at least at times, because one thing that's really impressed me about CU is that they've been very forward thinking a lot of times. They've been adaptive. They've been able to take on these challenges and adapt. And by the way, I think going forward, it's not going to look the same, and maybe that's a good thing because it's going to be more diversified. But you still got to have the classroom, maybe just add to it more of the online stuff and diversify it that way. Do you see CU and other colleges changing going forward, or do you see some people just being rigid and not willing to listen?
I think it's a mix. I think there's some incredible players on our campus that are doing great things to push us forward into the future. And President Kennedy is trying to do that. He's convinced, you know, or persuaded a lot of the leadership folks to really go all in on making the digital experience a high-class one and one of the top in the country. And I think that's really important. But I also think we have to pay attention to, you know, what is the role of an urban university like CU Denver? How does that play with the community in Denver? And what is the role of UCCS down in Colorado Springs in its, you know, climb as a regional institution? It's doing fantastic that way. And really being mindful of what programs are offered at each campus and not duplicating efforts, too.
Now, are they... Do the faculty move around from campus to campus to campus and serve all of them, or do they mainly just focus on one? I know they have their office at one. How does that work?
Yeah, they really focus on one, and each campus is led by a different chancellor. And so they are very distinct and have a different feel and approach to them, which is kind of cool. I mean, CU Denver has just blossomed as an urban university, and
yes.
It's, you know, really done some neat things to collaborate with the city and give students a really unique experience, not one that you the same experience you would have up at CU Boulder. But, you know, when a CU Denver has a business school and a CU Boulder has a business school and a CU UCCS has a business school, you have to scratch your head and say, you know, I think we could do this more efficiently and, you know, bear the burden across the system rather than building little mini empires.
Well, if CU Denver ever gets a football team, and they do you think that they will play, you know, at the same stadium as the Broncos so that that stadium will have a football team?
I don't know about that. I think we're in a good place with Folsom up at CU Boulder and
yeah.
our football team up there. And I think Rick George, our athletic director, does a fantastic job of navigating student athletes and the role of athletics at a university, which has been quite controversial with some of my fellow regents who think that football should go away.
Oh, no. Football go away. That's horrible. By the way, yeah. I'm sorry to pick on the Broncos. They actually have a lot of great players. It's just they have no quarterback right now because of COVID, and that's just a horrible thing. Hey, what about with what I was saying about having professors at various locations? Now, I know you got CU Boulder, you got CU Denver, you got CU Colorado Springs, and so forth. But if you guys are going to be doing more of the online teaching, and the web teaching and so forth, wouldn't there be some value in that? If you've got somebody, you know, at CU Boulder who happens to be fantastic in this area and someone at CU Denver who is fantastic in another area and then another area down at CU Colorado Springs, and we're going to be doing more online stuff probably going forward, could there be more crossover? Or is that
Absolutely.
Something that just wouldn't happen?
No, I think it's starting to happen. And I think faculty are starting to collaborate more. And I think the other thing it does is allow us to go into high schools and help high school students get, you know, concurrent enrollment or, you know, get credit during high school so that when they get to CU, they can get their degree quicker and more efficiently. And I think the future is probably a degree in three years instead of four. And, you know, getting away from this direct cutoff from high school to college and really melding the two somehow.
Well, you know what? You are not a psychologist, but you are a parent. So I'm going to ask you to lie for a moment and say you're a psychologist, okay? And this is, I want you to kind of just tell me before we leave, what is it like for the students and how is it affecting them and how is it affecting the faculty, just in your opinion, mentally, psychologically, with what's going on, with being separated, with being stuck at home, without being able to enjoy the campus life that they're paying for or that the teachers are working for. This has all been taken away. It's a complete change. Do you see any kind of long-term effects of this, or do you see it at least affecting them in the short term?
You know, that it's been heartbreaking to listen to students and parents talk about what they're going through. Faculty also, the morale is, you know, pretty low. They're feeling pretty beat up. And they what they love doing is being in the classroom with the students, right?
Yeah.
So we did up the number of mental health sessions that students can have. I think we did that last year, actually, at CU Boulder. I'm not sure on the other two campuses, but we have a very robust effort on each campus to provide mental health support. But, you know, I talked to the Rotary Club up in Boulder this morning, and they were asking what they could do to help. And I said, you know, I think the best thing you could do is provide, like, care kits or, you know, almost like goodie bags or things that just make them smile and give them, you know, a little lift, because they're really lonely. A lot of these students are stuck in their dorm rooms or their apartments, and they're not allowed to socialize with more than a couple other students. So it's been a real tough road for them, and I do think there's going to be some long-term effects. I think one of those is that students aren't going to stay and get their degree and finish.
Are grades suffering?
I don't know about grades. I think the faculty's, you know, being understanding of what's happening.
Sure.
But I do know, you know, the students are definitely burned out on you know, being online all the time and not having the experience that they signed up for by going to SU Boulder. I think a UCCS and SU Denver is a little bit more adaptable, because a lot of those students work, or they're going part-time, or, you know, they're living from home and going to school.
Okay, last question. Do you foresee a vaccine changing this over the winter break, or at least starting the change to where maybe things can get back to normal quicker than we thought?
I think if anything, it will lift people mentally. Like, okay, we can see, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. We can gut this out for a few more months, a few more weeks. My understanding from talking to some of the experts, at least at CU and Schutz, is that we're probably not going to see a robust vaccine effort that's going to hit college students or faculty until late in the spring. So then you're into, you know, the fall semester before things really pick up and get back to normal. And I do think we'll see a strong recovery next fall.
Awesome. Okay, Heidi Ganahl, how can people reach you? How can they see what you're doing up at CU? And how can they see what's happening up at CU?
Well, I love to stay in touch with folks about what's going on. I have a newsletter that I put out once a quarter, and you can just go to my website, HeidiGanahl.com, or follow me on Instagram, at Heidi Ganahl, and I'll definitely, you know, keep everyone in the loop. And it's a crazy time. There's lots going on. If you have a college student in your life, don't hesitate to reach out if you need any help or support.
Fantastic. Thank you, Heidi.
Thank you, Andy. Have a great day.
You bet. Heidi Ganahl, folks, and she is a real champion up there at CU for your kids and for their parents. And right now we have another champion. That's Bruce Simmons with American Liberty Mortgage. Folks, don't wait until you retire. A reverse mortgage line of credit will continue to grow tax-free until the day you need it. Bruce loves his job because he's really helping people, putting thousands of dollars in their pocket. And in over 14 years, he's never once had someone say they regret getting their reverse. Give Bruce a call at 303-467-7821, or you can find Bruce at klzradio.com.
You don't need it now, but you will need it someday. You're still working, and you're not planning on retiring immediately, but you'd like to have cash available for your future. A reverse mortgage line of credit allows you to convert a portion of the value of your home into tax-free, liquid money available to you at any time, and you don't need to use it right away. KLZ's local reverse mortgage specialist, Bruce Simmons, has been hearing from homeowners 62 years and older who haven't retired yet, but who would like to get a reverse mortgage now while interest rates are still so low. Bruce can help you maximize the amount of money available to you, setting up a line of credit that will continue to grow tax-free until the day you need it. Don't wait until you retire. Plan ahead now so you know you have the money when you need it. Set up a free consultation with Bruce Simmons at klzradio.com/reverse. NMLS 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
Okay, a good shop. When you get in a car accident, you're going to be panicked. You know you are. You're going to be in panic. So replace that panic with this phone number, 720-541-7697. At a good shop, a real live caring person answers the phone every time, and they'll help you with your insurance claim while handling all your auto body work in-house. That means you get it back quicker. It's pretty cool. You can fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/collision. But don't forget that number, 720-541-7697. You've had a bad accident? You need a good shop.
All you're looking for is a good shop. You've already been through the extremely unpleasant experience of a collision. Now you're dreading the process of repairing the damage to your vehicle. You just want someone professional and polite who will answer your phone calls and tell you what's going on. It doesn't seem like too much to ask, but somehow it's so hard to find. Well, we at KLZ found a good shop. Al Sturm and his team explain all of the costs, so you know what you're paying for. They help you with your insurance claim. They handle all of your auto body work in-house, so you get your vehicle back faster, and a real person answers the phone every time. Best of all, they'll get your vehicle looking great back to pre-loss condition. Al and his team run a good shop, and that's exactly what you're looking for. Find them now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair, worth referring.
Franktown Firearms. Guns can be pricey, but thanks to their location, Franktown offers the lowest tax rate around. Trust me, that's big. Also, if you're a veteran, first responder, or in law enforcement, you'll receive a Patriot discount on everything in the store. And finally, mention KLZ and Franktown Firearms will waive the background fee on any firearms purchase. Heard enough? Go to klzradio.com/Franktown or call Franktown Firearms at 720-770-7777.
Buying a gun alone doesn't make you safe. Recently, the team at Franktown Firearms has been working with a lot of beginners who just want to feel safe. Widows living alone who need to protect themselves. People with arthritis in their hands who may struggle to load or rack a handgun, depending on the model. Anyone can learn defensive shooting skills, and buying a gun is a great first step. But you need to know how to use it confidently. The team at Franktown Firearms encourages everyone to try out different guns on the range before purchasing. Right now, mention KLZ to receive a free hour on the range when you purchase a new firearm. Once you've purchased your firearm, the team at Franktown advises you to sign up for one of their basic training courses or one-on-one instruction, so you can become completely comfortable with that particular gun. Free gun rentals are included with private training lessons. Visit klzradio.com/Franktown now. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Rather than struggling, you can expand your business with John Rush as your personal business coach. No matter what business you're in, it's always a mistake to wait, hold off, and see what happens. Now is the time to move forward. Two of John's clients are expanding right now, moving into new industries because they see an opportunity. John believes that as long as you fill a need, there's no reason not to grow. Send an email to John at rushtoreason.com and run your ideas by him today.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate filling in for John Rush. Got Charlie Grimes behind the glass. Never do a show, folks, on 3 hours sleep. It is dangerous. I'm in the mood for a rant. I wasn't actually going to talk about this now, but I am, because we just brought up education, and Joe Biden is planning executive action to relieve student debt. And his initial talk is just, you know, $10,000 off the top that he's going to relieve. Look, folks, he is pressing to basically make college free. He's said that. It's in one of his proposals. It's in many proposals that are coming from his supporters. This is horrible. This is horrible on every level. Now, first of all, this punishes an awful lot of people, by the way, including me. First, you got two choices when you come out of high school. Okay, so imagine you're in high school and you're coming out. There are two choices in front of you. One, you can go into college, right, and trying to get that education and move your way up that way. The other, you can say, no, I'm going to go into the business world and I'm going to earn a living that way. Maybe I'll be a welder. Maybe I'll be whatever, right? Maybe I'll be a plumber. Maybe I'll be an electrician. Maybe I'll just go to a two-year school and do something different. But you've got a choice. Well, what he's basically saying is if you make that first choice, then everybody in the second choice who made that has to help pay for your debt, because that money doesn't come from nowhere, okay? The government doesn't just have money. They get it from taxpayers, right? And so these people who did not go to college, they don't have theirs paid off. Or what about the people who went to college like me, got their degrees long ago, we paid for it. We don't get ours paid off. So all of us, all of the people who did not go to college recently, who did not make that choice, have to pay for those who did. Why is that? My choice shouldn't pay for their choice. That is garbage. Now, the second thing wrong with this, what he's really pressing for is free college, right? Let's do a little review on this. There are people who still like free college. Folks, worst idea ever. So just a little review. I'm going to give you some questions to ask people who are, you know, supporters of free college. I've done this. I've changed a lot of minds. It's real easy. Question number one, why do you go to college? Okay, you like free college. Let me ask you that. Why do you go to college? Well, it's to get a better job, right? It's to get a, you know, to be more competitive, to get a competitive advantage in the marketplace. Okay, second question. Why doesn't high school give you that? That's when they raise an eyebrow. Yeah, why doesn't high school give you that competitive advantage in the marketplace? It's very simple. Because everyone has it. Whatever everyone has, that doesn't give you any advantage in the marketplace. Right? Okay, so here's the question. Why does everyone have a high school degree or equivalent? GED, that kind of thing. Because it's free. Whatever is free, everyone is going to have. Whatever everyone has will offer you no advantage. So the whole reason to go to college is gone. Right? If everybody has that same piece of paper, it's no advantage whatsoever. So free college, folks, is just longer high school. But it gets worse. Let's add this up really quick. If I have to, with free college, now I have to take 4 more years just to get to the new minimum, the new starting line, right? Now I have to get 4 more years of listening to profs, buying books, and going through all these hours of study to get no advantage, because every single career field is going to be flooded with that many more people. You just made college worthless. But it gets worse. You see, because not only is it not going to help you have any advantage, we have to pay for it. Well, okay, we'll do it. We'll raise taxes. Uh-huh. You're going to raise taxes on who? You're going to raise taxes on job creators. So what you're going to do is tax hundreds of billions of dollars out of the economy that employs you. So now that economy makes fewer jobs. Okay, so now you're going to spend 4 more years with no advantage competing for fewer jobs. But it gets worse. We can't raise taxes that much. It'll crash the economy. So we got to add that money to the national debt. Who pays the national debt? Young people. It's all going to be paid by them. Okay, so now with free college, you spend 4 more years getting no advantage, competing for fewer jobs to pay a greater debt. That is free college. Thank you very much. And that is what Joe Biden wants to do to young people across America, all in the name of basically buying their votes with other people's money, just because other people chose not to go to college. They chose to go a different way. Please, please, somebody, somewhere, Supreme Court, overturn this election. Make it right. Make it legal. Give us the right president, because this one is going to drive us into the ground if he gets too much power. Okay, that's the end of hour two. Okay, that's the end. I just had to, just getting looked at here. That's the end of hour two. In hour three, we're going to talk to some restaurant owners. We're going to talk to a bunch of people about getting the economy going again and getting people back into restaurants. Until then, thanks for listening to Rush to Reason on Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.